You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I am Allison Renborg in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, where meteorites are literally falling. And you are listening to the monthly Equine Affair episode of Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Thursday, October the 16th, episode 3798. This episode is brought to you by Equine Affair. Good morning, Horse World.
It's the third Thursday of the month. That means it's time for the Equine Affair episode, North America's premier equine expo and equestrian gathering.
Well, we're back with another Equine Affair episode. One month from getting together in Massachusetts. And I know Allison is so excited because everything's done and she has nothing else to do for the next month. And she's just so happy and bored.
I wish. That sounds wonderful. Who is that, Allison? I would like to meet her. Yes, less than a month to go. We are all, we're going. It's going.
This is when Allison and everybody else over there is at their 100-hour week. See, this is when that happens.
Yes.
You know, it doesn't matter for events how much time you prepare ahead of time. There's always that last-minute stuff that needs done. It just works that way.
Well, yeah. And there's some stuff that just can't happen until now either. I mean, so that's the thing. But like the problem is it's everyone else's last minute stuff, too. And that's when it starts multiplying. And it's like, OK, wow. Can we? But we're fine. We're a well-oiled machine. You know that.
We'll get it done. You'll get it done. No problem. What's coming up? Who's coming up on today's show?
Yes. So today's show is really good. I'm excited about it. Our first guest, Dr. Corinne Bump. She's fabulous. You will love her. She hosts our college and career fair. She was not with us this past Ohio, but she's usually with us every few events. And she is great because she's really passionate about helping kids and non-traditional students find their way into working in the industry. And then our next guest after her is, I'm very excited, Gabby Reuter. She is our show jumping clinician. She is the reigning number one female Chilean show. She's amazing. And you guys are going to love her. She'll be at Equine Affair. I think it'll be her first time with us teaching all about show jumping. And she's also a content creator. So she's got some cool stuff to talk about with us.
Very good. But before we get to your guests, we have a winner.
We do. We have a winner of the My Equine Affair Moment Contest. And that is, should we do a drum roll? Drum roll, please. Alicia Sobieski. So her full story, by the way, is up on our website. You guys can go check it out. We've posted the whole story. We'll also have it in the program. But Alicia wrote this amazing story about her daughter, Angie, meeting one of the Whispery Pines Percherons, Tony, and just having an incredible journey with him where she basically grew up alongside him. She has all these pictures of hanging out with Tony year after year at Equine Affair. And it was the best. It was an amazing story. All of them were amazing stories. I loved every single one of them. I read every single one of them. I wish I could give you all the weekend prizes. So thank you to everyone who entered, and every story you wrote mattered. And we're going to be sharing those on our socials soon too. But yes, Alicia and Angie were our winners. So they'll be coming to Equine Affair.
And you know, I love that it involved a Percheron. So happy about that.
Well, and her relationship with Tony led her to get her own Percheron.
Oh, really?
Bagel. Yes.
Wait a minute, a Percheron named Bagel?
Yes, his name is Bagel.
That's not the usual Percheron name, which is Tony and Joe and, you know, these masculine names. I love that this one's named Bagel.
Bagel. And I asked her, where did that name come from? And he came from New York. And so I think the person who had him before them named him Bagel after the famous Bagels from New York, and so the name just stuck. So his name is Bagel.
That's great. That beats Joe. I mean, how many Percherons are named Joe, right?
Right. So. You know, sometimes you just got to branch out and do something cool and memorable. So,
cool for her. That's a very cool story. Yeah. Well, I know that we have some last minute stuff that we need to pass along for all of the listeners heading to Massachusetts in November.
Yes. If you haven't gotten your tickets, go get those. They're still there. There's general admission tickets, Fantasia tickets while they last. Just go ahead and snatch them up, guys, because I mean, no
parking
guarantees
passes.
We won't be sold out. Yes, advance parking passes. I mentioned them in our last episode, and that link is now live. So you can buy your advance parking passes online. We'll put the link in the show notes too.
Just saves you time when you get there.
Yes, it saves you time. I don't know if we're going to have like a whole separate line for those who bought advance parking. I wish. That's really up to the
facility.
Yeah, that
would go fast, wouldn't it?
Yeah. But it at least makes it easier because you're just literally handing them your sheet that says you bought it. They give you, it's a QR code, I believe, and then they hand you your pass and then you're through. So it's so much faster. So just go ahead and get that done. And then it's one less thing that you got to worry about when you get there. Yeah.
And what else do we have to share?
Yeah, people are always asking me, what are your tips? Like, how can I make the most of my visit? So I compiled a couple for you guys.
Okay.
So the first is, you don't want to carry a backpack around all day. I mean, what a drag. So bring a rolling suitcase or a wagon. I mean, we'll let backpacks in, but like, why carry it when you can just roll it behind you? And that way, all the stuff that you buy, and especially if you're going to buy a saddle, like, pop it in a wagon. Don't carry a saddle around. That's,
I love the idea of the rolling suitcase. I've seen a bunch of people start doing that now at the shows.
It's so
especially
smart.
If you're buying Christmas gifts, right?
Yeah. And then if you're flying, it's all packed up when you get home, and then you just, roll it onto the airplane. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, wear comfortable shoes. This is not the place to wear your boots.
Honestly, unless your boots are comfortable.
Unless you love walking in boots, but I don't.
Yeah,
it depends, So wear comfortable shoes. You're going to be walking all day long. And some of it's on concrete. Some of it's on mats. Thank you, LRP Matting, our official matting. But, sometimes we have concrete. You're going to be standing up and walking. Be comfortable. And speaking of, Glenn can attest to this, but the weather is Massachusetts in November.
It's either going to be 70 degrees and beautiful or 32 degrees and cold and sleeting. It's going to be one of the two.
Yes. Yeah. It could mean anything. So wear layers, wear layers so you can warm up or cool off or whatever you need. I run hot. So like I'll show up wearing just a very light jacket and everyone around me is like, what's the matter with you? And I'm like, no, I'm comfortable. You don't understand. But, wear what you're comfortable, no matter whether it's hot or cold, because the other thing is we heat those buildings. So even if it's freezing outside, you're going to be inside, just take your coat off. And then this tip, the next one is one that I have picked up from our attendees, but they bring pre-printed address labels with them to sign up for all the raffles at booths.
Oh, that's a good idea.
I think that's brilliant.
That's a good idea.
Instead of having to write it over and over and over again, just like slap a sticker on that list and go.
I don't know about you, but my writing, you can't read it anyway. So that's a brilliant idea.
That too. Yeah. Especially if you've done it like 10 times that day. So get a pre-printed, I get them in the mail for free all the time. So just grab those and slap them on the list and move on. And then this sounds self-serving, but honestly, if I wasn't in Equine Affair, I would do this, but you can volunteer for 2 measly hours and get in for free for the day. Like, I would do that if I could. Pretty good deal. So volunteering, if you don't want to pay admission, you got to come, you got to pay admission to get in. You go do your 2-hour shift and then you get reimbursed. That's pretty cool.
So they still are accepting volunteers?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. At this point, if you didn't sign up early, you just come to the event, you pay to get in. You'll go to the volunteer office, you'll work your 2-hour shift, and then you'll come to the show office and get your money back. So pretty easy. And then also, study the overview map so you know which buildings are where. I have so many people at the events say to me, why don't you have signs on all the different walls of the buildings. And it's like, well, there's a lot of different walls on a lot of different buildings. And so, like, we have signs everywhere, but, you know, you can't have signs everywhere you look. So study the map, look for the signs, and then you know where to go. That's really my best tip. And as far as navigating, I think that that's a good one. And we'll also have the map in the program. And then my last tip is the most important one. And I say it lovingly because I am a nerdy introvert. Don't be a nerdy introvert. You got to go talk to people. You got to go, you say hi and go talk to people. Otherwise, what are you doing? You're just wandering around looking like a nerdy introvert. And like, I love you and I will come be your friend as a nerdy introvert and we can nerd out together. But like, you want to meet more people than just me. So yes, be extra, put on your extrovert face, be a Glenn, go meet people.
You know,
right, Glenn?
Yeah, and you have to remember, most of those people have booths and things are paying to be there to meet you. So they're happy for you to come over and talk to them.
Yeah. They want you to talk to them. They want you to ask questions.
All the vendors with the horses, everybody. Yeah. Yes, yeah. That's why they're there.
That's why they're there.
Yep. It's a good place if you're an introvert to go because everybody is there eager to ready to talk to you. So, that's what it's all about.
They're all thrilled. Yes. They're all thrilled if you can talk to them.
And I'm sure the listeners and auditors will be having a meetup too. They usually do. I don't know that I've seen anything there yet, but I'm sure they'll be working on that for all those ones that are going.
Yeah. Well, and I know Heather Wallace is going to be there for Adulting with Horses.
Okay.
Yeah, with and our podcast. So like we already are going to have a contingent of hosts. I think a few others are probably going to be there. Susan Friedland.
Oh, yeah.
You guys know her.
Yeah.
So like we're going to have a lot of honorary Horse Radio Network people there. So if you are auditors and you are going, then have a meetup.
Yep.
Take a picture. Make Glenn feel sad that he's not in Massachusetts because he won't go.
I'll be looking for all the pictures. I'll be enjoying it through you guys.
Yes.
And I know you'll do a good job of posting a bunch of stuff so I can enjoy it too.
I will. That's me all the time.
Well, you know what else this means? It means that it's the fall. And what happens in the fall is your pastures change, and so do your horse's needs. Chewy has the supplements to support your horses through the fall transition, like vitamin E and ration balancers, targeted care for metabolic horses, and calming support for horses feeling fresh in the cool weather. We've had a few of those this week. Mm-hmm. With Chewy Auto Ship, you'll never run out of the brands you trust. Schedule repeat deliveries that arrive right on time every time. Plus, save big with 40% off your first auto ship order of equine supplements using code EQSUP. That's EQSUP at checkout to get 40% your first auto ship order. For seasonal wellness, for trusted brands, for fast shipping, there's Chewy. Visit them at chewy.com/equine. That's chewy.com/equine. Who's our first guest?
So our first guest is Dr. Corinne Bump, and she is an educator, she's a consultant, and she is a lifelong advocate for equine education and careers. She combines her academic expertise, that's where the doctor part comes in, with practical insights to help connect students and up-and-coming young professionals with the right path to help them fulfill their dreams of working in the horse industry. And this year at Equine Fair, we are proud to have her. She'll be presenting multiple sessions on colleges and careers and heading up Under Hunt. So if you are interested in working in the horse industry, whether you're 18 or whether you're 45, this is the lady to listen to. So let's welcome Dr. Bump to our show. Well, hi, Corinne. Welcome to our show. It's good to have you.
Well, hello. Thanks for having me.
And you are, where are you calling from? You travel all over the country, but where are you today?
I am in Lower Alabama today.
Yes, the heavenly place. Well, heavenly it location is. Sometimes, not in the summer.
Yes, sometimes, right. Upstate New York in the winter, not so heavenly. Down here in the middle of the summer, not so heavenly, but you know, it's great regardless.
And you just moved there from upstate New York, right? So, I mean, talk about you like to do the swinging, the extremes of weather.
Yes. And I still have a place in upstate New York. So I'm really kind of split between the two places. So, yeah, I'm still a New Yorker in that sense. So,
yeah. Well, and that works well for us because you're close to Massachusetts and you're not that far from Ohio.
That's right. It all works out.
It all works out. So you are a familiar face and voice. You're one of my personal heroes, but you've also been at multiple equine affairs. You are our trusty equine career and college degree lady. You're the one who helps give lost kids directions. How'd you get into that? What made you go, yeah, I'm going to try to guide these kids to find their dream job or their dream college degree?
Oh, so thanks for that question. It is, you know, I was a lost child myself. I often tell the story that I didn't know until much later in my life that my parents had the, what will we do with Corinne talk? Like, where, what will she do with her life? What will we do with her? And yeah, and when I realized that a career with horses was a possibility, I was a horse passionate kid. Like, I literally came out of my mom, and one of the very first drawings I ever did, which is really a scribble, my mom has labeled that I said it was a horse, and I didn't grow up with horses. But you know, that was just, I think we get bit by it and it just never goes away. So I didn't conceptualize that a career with horses was even possible until I got into college and was pursued an agriculture career, and then realized that equine really was a possibility because I had a mentor that helped me understand that. And so for me, it's very much a passion project. I was a college professor at a small private college in upstate New York, Casanova College, almost 30 years, one of the best programs around. Of course, the college did close, nothing to do with the equine program, but just, you know, the dilemma of small colleges in the last couple of years. But, you know, through that, my passion just never stopped and just continued to grow. This idea that you don't know what you don't know. And so you have a love of horses, a passion of horses, and you need somebody along the way that helps you understand there's so many opportunities and so many pathways and so many things to do things and so many things you can do that I get chills sort of just even talking about it now. It really matters to me. It is truly a passion project to help with that fit piece.
Well, and we hear it all the time, right? People think, oh, I want to work in the horse industry, so I'll either be a horse trainer or I'll be a vet. Mm-hmm. And that's it.
Yeah.
And it's like, no. Yeah. And why do so many people fall into that trap? Because you just have to look around and you see all the different options. But that's, and it's true. There are so many different ways you can do this. I mean, you don't work with horses hands-on. You're in the industry. I don't work with horses hands-on. I'm in the industry. Glenn, well, I think Glenn is a career all his own, but
mine doesn't count.
No, but, it's another great example. Yeah.
Yeah. There's, you know, options.
Absolutely. You know, I typically always start, you know, when I do talks or meet with young people or adults or whoever it is, you know, it's $177 billion industry, billion, you know, with the B, and everything that goes in, on, around, under a horse, a rider, a farm, a facility, tracks, trailers, all of these kinds of things need people to develop, to promote, to market, to understand, to communicate. There's so many careers. And one of the reasons that I've always been so passionate, and of course, Equine Affair, you know, from the very beginning, and when I floated this idea to Kogi, she's like, yes, let's try that. And now I can't even remember how many, you know, years we've been doing this. But Equine Affair is such a perfect place because people walk around, but they're blind to anything but the horse itself, typically in terms of a career. Mm-hmm. But anywhere you look, everywhere you look, and you know, Glenn, my gosh, you know, you think about social media marketing, the way journalism has changed, communication, all the things that are in that field. So if you've got a passion for horses, there is really nothing that I have found that you can't couple with equine in terms of a business or a career.
And with Allison and I mean, we, all of our friends are in, you know, a lot of our friends are in the media side of things, but they all, a lot of them, media or marketing, and they all created their own jobs. I mean, these jobs, most of them weren't around. And they just created their own. Now, I'm not saying that's easy. That isn't. And I'm sure you got people coming up to you today, teenagers, saying, well, I just want to be a YouTube star. Well, you know, that's a tough one because it takes a long time and a bit of luck, you know. And again, 1% out of 100% become YouTube stars. Yeah. It's not something you're guaranteed to get just by doing videos. So, you know, but there is. But let's be honest, too. Most kids today, they want to work with horses directly, right? I mean, that's what they want to do, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And I mean, sure, we all do. And I'm blessed that twice a year I get to be around all kinds of horses. But the rest of the time, I'm writing about them. I'm thinking about them. I'm taking pictures or editing videos or whatever. But kind of a note to the career thing, growing up in a non-horsey family, I was the horse crazy kid, just like you. I knew I loved to write, and I was like, I want to be an equine journalist. There has to be there have to be people who write these articles in these magazines, right? Like who? Right. And I didn't know any of them, and I didn't know how to be them. I was just like, that's what I want to be. And so I would tell people in high school, oh, I'm going to be an equine journalist, and I would even say a freelance equine journalist. And they're like, well, how do you can you live off of that? Can you make money off of that? And I was like, I don't, you know, we'll get there when we get there. Don't bother me with that. But, you know, you make up your career.
Yeah.
And then you find a way to make it work. And now I do live, and I am not necessarily writing for magazines all the time, but I just shifted laterally. And so we find ways to make this work. Now, I mean, I'm envious of the people I meet who are lawyers and accountants who have horses because they have the money to play with the horses. And we work with horses, but maybe we don't have the money, but hey, you do what you love.
And they may, and they may be jealous that, you know, you get to spend the more time doing it. You know, there's so many ways, and it's, you know, for our industry, you know, the selfish side of me is the, you know, we need to bring more people into the industry for the future and the health of our industry. So, you know, for, I don't know whether that's selfish or not, but from a futuristic, we've got to do
practical,
that.
That's practical, actually.
Yeah. But, you know, we've got to be doing that, but that's not what drives me. You know, that's sort of an underlying little thing. What drives me is that so many times people are passionate about horses and then they stop out or drop out. I think probably more people stop out. They're like really passionate and then they think they can't do something and they walk away and then, you know, we'll see them come back. But the horse industry is, again, so many opportunities, but they're hidden or we just don't think about it or we don't make that connection. And very entrepreneurial, you know, again, if you have the passion for horses and then you have some other kind of skill or another kind of passion, and that's often a first thing I do with young people trying to, because I do some one-on-one stuff with this, you know, what kinds of career fields might work. And you're right, they always start with the hands-on. But once you start kind of delving down and saying, well, what are the other skills or knowledge sets or talents or things that you have? Let's at least explore what that might look like. And the more you know, the more you know. So if you take the college route, again, you know, almost 30 some years with students in equine degree programs. And in our case, it was a 4-year program. If you look at those students, you know, I'd say 90 some percent of them come in hands-on veterinarian, rider, trainer, barn, you know, the things that are very visible. But by the time they graduate, we would typically find one of three routes. About a third of them would still very much have that hands-on passion. About a third would say, you know, I'm going to do something with horses, but in a much broader way, not hands-on. And then, you know, we would have a third that would say, I've decided that I want to have horses. I want to be a lawyer, but I want to have horses, right? So college, of course, is for a lot more than, you know, just a career. It's, you know, it's all the other things that you do. But once you realize how vast the opportunities are, it's a total game changer from what you what you came in saying, this is what I'm going to do, and what you leave saying, I think this is what I want to do. And it's not because what you came in wanting to do wasn't possible. It's that you realized there was so much more that was possible.
I'm glad you brought that up, because we have a lot of friends who thought that they wanted to have the hands-on with the horses, right? They started that job as a working student or trainer or whatever, and they discovered that doing it full-time was a job. And the horses weren't as much fun as they thought anymore, because it was a job. And they went back to getting another job and having fun with their horses. Because when you – boarding stable is a perfect example. We ran one with 20-some horses. We didn't have time to ride our own horses. You know, we were running a boarding stable.
Sure.
It took some of the fun out of it, because we were – yes, we were playing with horses all the time, but you're also dealing with people and budgets and money and all of the things that involved in running a stable like that.
Yeah.
And it took some of the fun out of it. And some people just decide, hey, I'm going to get another job, have the money to have the fun. Right.
Yeah. And that's, and that's fine too. That, you know, the thing is that they stay in the horses, that they realize there are lots of ways to do it. The other thing that's really interesting when you think about where we are today, and I just had a conversation with someone about this yesterday, we see people who when they retire, quote unquote, a lot of people like, you know, really retire these days, but they go, well, now I'm going to start up that horse business. So I have a friend of mine, a colleague who was in the sort of firefighting kind of business. And I've had a police officer friends. And when they have done their service and they've retired from that, then have started a horse training business or a rescue or a therapeutic or an equine assisted service, that they've come back and now are doing that passion project business. So again, no reason to step away from horses.
Well, and even if you do, like Glenn was saying, you decide, I don't want to work with the horses, but I want to go do another job and then still stay in the industry, you're still a valuable part of the industry.
Oh, you're the one that pays the bills.
Right. You're the one who get us paid. You know,
absolutely.
So it doesn't matter whether you're working in the industry or you just want to own horses and be part of the industry. That's valuable in all the ways. And so we do, like you were saying, we need people on both sides of it. We got to keep investing in our new generations of people and pulling in, the horse kids whose parents were horse people, but also the people who are horse crazy kids in the non-horsey family. And both of those come to Equine Affair. And I think that's what's so cool about your career and college panels that you offer, where you're speaking to them and your networking workshops that you've been trotting out these last couple times. Because it's like, oh, this is perfect. We're here at Equine Affair. Let's go learn a little bit more about this. And you're right also in that it's a good location, because you can point to the
Absolutely.
Massive trade show. All the people, like everyone's there, the support staff, the hands-on staff, we're all there. And so it's like, do you find that the kids and the parents maybe walk away from your sessions and go, oh yeah, we do. I do see this is possible.
Oh
maybe
yeah.
This is possible.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think even more so parents, you know, the young people, you know, have this passion and oftentimes the parents are like, I don't know what to do with it. You know, I don't even know if I should support it. Is this crazy or what could it be? So certainly a goal I have when I'm talking to parents and guardians and family members is to help them understand that it really is a business. It really is an industry. And by the time we get done and I go through the, you know, everything that's on and around and over, and there's marketing and sales and promotion and outreach and research and, you know, you name it, they go, oh, wow. Okay. So it's not just about riding horses. They're not going to be, you know, cleaning stalls and living in a cardboard box. You know, there's real opportunities here, and they're much more likely to go, okay, now how do I help them find the right path? Because there's lots of different education tracks and everything's about education. And it's, you know, we have learned much more, particularly after COVID, about you know, we're much more likely to say, hey, listen, you know, it's not all about the four-year degree. It's not all about the college track. I'm still, of course, a huge believer in college for all the other things it brings with it. But there's certification programs, and there's, you know, there's all kinds of ways that you can do this. But really dialing in and understanding just the fact that it is real. It is real. You can actually have a career that has a passion around horses and in all kinds of different shapes and forms and all over the, you know, all over the US and abroad.
Yeah. So if you want to learn more and come see Dr. Bump in person, her career and college panels are going to be offered at noon Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of Equine Affair. And those will be in the Equine Fundamentals Forum. And so Dr. Bump, what can people expect to learn from you when they come and they come see you? What are you guys going to cover this year?
Great. So we're on the panels. We've got professionals that are going to be joining and talking about their careers and their career fields. And, you know, that's everything from nutrition and sales and pharmaceutical to entomology and journalism and photography and, you know, just a wide range. So hearing from people in a variety of different fields and different experiences about where they got to where they are and what they're doing. So really excited about that. Then we also, each of those days will kick off after the career, after those panel discussions, we'll have a 1 to 5, what we're calling an exploration trek. So during that time period, individuals will have a form and they can wander around. We've got about 50 stops throughout the buildings of professionals who are there and available to answer questions about their business, their industry, what they do. And if you make certain amount of stops, I'm not sure how many yet. Usually it's somewhere between 10 to 12 of those, then you can earn a reward. And that reward is a discount in the Equine Affair souvenir shop. So we're really excited about that. Also a little special prize for the first 15 completers every day. And that's something Yay. That's great because you can do it at your own pace while you're doing all the other great stuff. You know, you're wandering around anyway, but it's, you know, where else are you going to have this opportunity to hear from and actually interact with that many people and that many different career fields. And then each of those days, I also offer 20-minute one-on-one sessions as space is available. So if you want to spend a little individual time with me talking about careers, your interest, we can schedule that as well.
Perfect. And how can they do that? I think, well, we might have a link on our website for it, but also if they want to reach out to you, what's the best way?
Sure. So the best way would be to email me. So it's DR for doctor, and then it's K and bump. So you can always remember you bumped into Dr. Bump. That's a good way to remember that. So dr.kbump@gmail.com. And I know that information's on the website too. So just email me is the best way. Let me know what day or days you're going to be there. And then I'll let you know what time or times I have available and we'll go from there.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for coming on. This is a fun, I always love chatting careers with you. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Look forward to seeing you all soon. And yes, please come to the Great Equine Affair. And I hope to see you so we can talk careers and education to get there.
And our next guest is Gabriella Reuter. She is our show jumping clinician at Equine Affair and the reigning number one Chilean show jumper in the world. Gabby moved to the United States when she was 18 to study economics at NYU and develop her show jumping skills. At 22, she became a professional show jumper, and that means she jumps the really big stuff. She has competed all over the world, Europe, Mexico, Canada, Brazil, Argentina, and her home country of Chile. She earned a bronze medal in the South American Games in 2022. She is part of the Chilean national team, and her aspiration, which I think is awesome, it's put on her website in big letters, is to become the second Chilean woman ever to compete in the Olympic Games in show jumping and the only woman since 1972. Oh, and did I mention she's also a popular content creator on Instagram and TikTok, so you've probably seen her. Please help me welcome Gabby to our show. Well, hi, Gabby. Welcome to our show.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes. And you're down in Florida. Well, you're based in Florida, which is not far from Glen. But today, where are you calling us from?
from Tryon, North Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Been there, done that.
What are you doing there this week?
I am horse showing. I brought my four horses. I have one in the 2-star, then I have a young one, and then I have two other ones doing national classes. So we're here for 2 weeks, and then we head down to Wellington for the season.
Yeah.
And for full time, to be honest.
Wow. Yeah, no big deal. Just four horses, you know, jumping the big stuff in Tryon. My life. I'm glamour.
Oh, my God. It's like not as glamorous as it looks, for sure. I look and feel disgusting right now. I slept about 4 hours, full of horse sweat. But, you know, we have fun. So.
And then in the middle of all of that, she has time to be a social media celebrity, too.
I have time in quotation marks.
Yes. So I already said this in your intro, but like you jump the big stuff. You are a professional show jumper, which is just like an amazing career. We've been talking about careers all episode. Here we go. But then you're also a content creator. You've got almost 100,000 followers on Instagram and over 100,000 on TikTok. And like, did you ever, like, was that the plan? Like, how did you become a content creator on top of everything else amazing that you do?
Well, thank you for your kind words. So, no, I did not expect it at all. I always, like, even since I was a kid, I did like little skits and would like present to my parents and sing songs and like, you know, want to be on a little spotlight. So I think it's been coming. I did a lot of like theater for some time. I wanted to be Shakira. So I think like that, like having an outlet like in the art sector was something that, you know, has been brewing. And then when, you know, the whole social media game started, I basically used to do the same thing every professional writer does, which is have a very professional curated Instagram that shows results, shows the horses,
boring,
you know, shows everything in perfect polished condition. But for some reason I started to play around with TikTok around, you know, the pandemic. Yeah. And I started posting like random funny things that would happen in the barn, you know, playing around, just hanging out with my horses. And then people really seemed to enjoy it. And then they were also asking me riding questions and advice. So I kind of started mixing between like having fun and doing these funny skits with my horses. And at the same time, posting educational stuff and teaching people about horsemanship, about horse riding, horse care, like all these things. And it started blowing up on TikTok, and it got to a moment where I was like, look, this life is not super perfect. Like, we're all trying to pretend and seem like we have this perfect, polished life on the horse, and it's not true. So I was like, I'm just going to show everything, you know, my whole life, the good, the bad, the ugly, the funny, the everything that happens. So I stopped doing a curated Instagram and started posting whatever I wanted and wanted to share it with people and have fun with it and bring some lightness and fun into a sport that at times gets very serious and gets, you know, put with a lot of pressure and gives off a lot of anxiety. And people started to really respond to it and really appreciate it. And yeah, it just kind of happened.
You know? Well, and I love that. It makes you relatable and it makes it seem possible. You know, because you're so right. We see you at your very, very best. You know, you're jumping the giant fences and your horse is perfect and you're perfect and you're polished and turned out. And that almost makes it seem unattainable. But then if you're being down to earth and saying, yeah, hey, that ride, didn't love that, feel like, you know, feel not so good today, well, whatever, that just makes you more relatable more. And it makes people probably feel a little more inspired. It's like, oh, I could be like her. I could, you know, I could do the hard work. I could try to do this. And I think that's such a cool, inspirational kind of path that you've laid there, because everybody wants to be you someday. So
I don't know if that's true, but at least if I help a couple of people, that would be a success for me.
Well, and I think, you know, people bitch about social media and stuff and all the negatives, but I think that that's one of the positive things it's allowed is to see the you know, in magazine articles, all we saw was the polished stuff, right? For years and years and years, that's all we had. Now social media allows you to see everything. And I don't think that's a bad thing sometimes.
No. No, I don't think, as long as, you know, you're authentic about it. And I think part of that, of you know, showing the struggle and making it known that it happens and it's real, it started with a blog that I used to have that was called My Ride and Balance. And I would post, you know, all of my frustrations because I do a lot of journaling. So I would just write down what I wrote in my journal. I would just post it and be like, look, today I had this really awful round. Like, this happened, you know, this is what I'm going through. And people started to, you know, say, oh, wow, like, you know, you always see like everything so perfect. And that only happens like 10% of the time, you know?
Right.
And a lot of the other stuff that happens, we don't see, like the time we spend with our horses, like how we care for them, like all of this stuff that is so much more important and the reason why we're doing the sport. It's not, or at least for me, it's not just because I want to go in and compete. I love that part, but I have to love the horses because the competing part is only going to be successful a small percentage of the time, you know?
Do you mean to tell me that professional riders' horses are stupid and do stupid stuff too and hurt themselves and all of that? They're not perfect either. Is that what you're telling me?
No, horses are horses. I mean, whether they're a five-star horse or a backyard horse.
Yeah, they're always trying to kill themselves.
They all have the same DNA.
Yeah, that's right. I don't care how expensive they are. They all have the same tendencies.
They don't know. Like, they don't know how expensive they are. They only know how we treat them.
That's right. So if I'm going to put my foot through the stall wall, I'm going to do that whether I'm worth $1 million or 10. It doesn't matter.
Exactly. Fact. Like, it's so true.
Well, speaking of horses, tell us about your horses. So are these your four personal horses that you're there in try-on with?
Yeah, so I have three from my string and I have one sale horse that I got. Rocky is the one that I've had the longest. She's been with me 8 years. She's the one that I went to the South Americans and got a medal with. She, you know, we've been international together. We've jumped up to 5 stars. Now we're focusing more on the 2-star, 3-star level, but we actually have the Bolivarian Games that are coming up at the beginning of December. So that's super excited. We just got announced as part of the team, which I actually haven't posted about. So news.
Congratulations.
News. So that's Rocky. She's 15, so she's older, and I know her like the back of my hand. So that's, you know, my girl. And then I have Juice, which is my 5-star horse. He had a small injury at the beginning of circuit, at the beginning of Wellington. So I'm kind of gearing him up again. So we're doing, you know, the 135s, 140s, and slowly going back up. But he's been feeling really good, so I'm very excited. He's 11 this year. And or 10 no 11 and then I have Chili is the sale horse, so he's 8, and I've just been developing him, and I'm hoping to hold on to him as long as I can, but you know, he's there to help us pay some of the other horses, so but we don't tell him that. We tell him he's just a special. But he's awesome. I honestly wish I could keep him, but part of this is, you know, having some turnaround. And then I have Kenji, who is 7 years old, and he's this big gray with a lot of blood, and a lot of, he's like, you know, like this big bloody horse, so he's been hard to work with because he's very sensitive, but he's also very big, so at the beginning I was very intimidated. But now we've built a very good partnership, and I'm hoping he's gonna, you know, be my championship horse. So we'll have time to develop him.
And which one of them enjoys the TikTok or Instagram stardom more?
You know, it depends on the video. I kind of pick who I'm gonna use. Sometimes, like for the last one I did, where it's a dance and like, my horse's head is my head. Rocky has it pretty nailed down. She just will rest her head, which also relaxes her pole, so she loves it. And then I'll just hang out, and she's literally sleeping on my head. Aww. While I'm dancing. That's funny. Then, like, Chili is just adorable, so he can do it all. And, you know, Kenji is super handsome, and Juice, it depends on his mood, because he sometimes he'll like, yeah, okay, like I'm down for this, and sometimes he's like, nah, not today. Go pick someone else.
They have their personalities, right? They're just like, yeah, you know. Oh, that's so funny. Exactly.
And I'm not going to push them. Like, if they don't want to participate, like, fine, you know. Like, if you want to do it, great. If not, you know, that's not part. Like, it's if it's fun for them too and it's an activity, great. If not, then we're not doing it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I love that. So we're really excited because you're joining us at Equine Affair next month. And is this is your first time with us? Is that right?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Oh, so exciting.
Yeah.
Have you,
I'm super excited.
So have you been as an attendee before, or is this like first everything?
No, it's first everything. I've heard great things, but I've never been.
Oh, it's going to be fun. Okay, this is even more fun. So now, do you teach often at expos? Like, is this something new for you, or have you been sharing your knowledge in like settings like this before?
I've never done an expo with like a full-on audience. So to be honest, I'm a little bit nervous about that part. I've done clinics. I did my first small clinic in Wellington in April, and then I just finished a clinic with 13 kids, a 3-day intensive in Panama about a week ago. So that was, you know, pretty intense. And but it's not a full audience, you know. It's the moms, the dads, like whoever, people from the club or the farm that want to watch, but it's not an audience. So that part I'm a little bit nervous about.
Oh no, it's going to be awesome. Everybody's going to love you. Yeah, so you're doing, I think, 4 ridden sessions, and then you're doing one about your life as a marketing professional and an international writer. And so you're kind of going to get to go do all the things. You're going to do clinics, and you're going to be in front of an audience, like a, without a horse. But we're so excited to have you. And what are you looking forward to? Gosh, I don't even know what to ask you because it's your first time, but what are you looking forward to most about it?
I think I'm super excited to meet people from different disciplines. I'm also super excited to teach the students that I picked. It's hard because, so it's 4 sessions, and I'm doing one that's more like flat work and poles for jumping, another one that's gymnastics, another one that's a course, you know, and then one that's for like rideability. So it's a little bit of everything. And it's hard because when you just have one session with someone, you can't really build upon it. But it was really great because a lot of the people signed up or wanted to sign up for more than one. So I was able to get, like, for the full course and the second day, there are students that I will have the day before. So I did that on purpose so that I would be able to, you know, follow up, and kind of they'll get, you know, even more out of it because we'll be able to build on how we prepared and the horse the day before. So that was on purpose. And I was very happy to see that a lot of people wanted to do more than one session, especially, and could do more than one session. So I'm super excited to see how that goes. And I think I'm also, I'm just excited to meet people. I'm planning on doing some meet and greets at booths. So I'm, I think it's going to be fun. And I'm also excited to see other sessions because I think, you know, we're always learning, and I'm always doing research. I'm always reading. So it's always really cool to be able to see other riders and trainers and see like what their methods are and what can I take from that and apply to my own training?
Yeah, that is one of the best parts, as like, if you're as a clinician or as an attendee who's just like only ever ridden one discipline, like it's so fun to watch them gain those benefits from seeing other disciplines. And like every clinician that I talk to, whenever I ask them, you know, what are you looking forward to? They're like, oh, well, I'm looking forward to teaching and I'm looking forward to this, but I'm also like, can't wait to go learn myself. And for me, I love when I'm walking around and I see other clinicians in other clinician sessions, like just sitting there like casual in the audience. It makes me happy because that's part of Equine Affair. It's education for everyone. It doesn't matter if you're the backyard horse owner or you're the, you know, top tier show jumper, you know, there's something to learn from everybody. So I love that you're already thinking that way. You're going to have a good time. I wish I was you so I could experience it all over again.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I was curious, have you always wanted to do show jumping? Like, was that your ambition from the beginning, or what were you setting out to do as a horse crazy kid?
So I started riding when I was 4, and I actually started riding like retired polo ponies that they would use to give like lessons for kids. And it was a very much dressage based, like dressage slash, you know, like having fun because you're a kid and you don't want to be doing like a super serious thing. So it was a lot of, you know, group like sessions where you had to do stuff together and in groups and, you know, mirror each other. And we did presentations and all of that was super fun. And then we got to, I think I was a little bit older, or maybe I was like 7. And then there was one day where there were two specific horses that would jump like this cross rail, and that was set up. That was, you know, poles that were falling apart, standards that I don't think were actual standards. Maybe they were tires or something. And the trainer goes, okay, like if you guys want to jump, like you can jump this back and forth a couple times. And I was like, well, okay. And I jumped it. It was probably like 30 centimeters. Like it was probably the smallest thing you've seen in your life. But I was like, whoa, this is so cool. And then when it started like developing more and I started riding more, there aren't really like the facilities in Chile where I'm from in Santiago, like they're all either show jumping or dressage. There's very little of other disciplines. Western isn't a thing. Like we have our own like huasos, which are like the cowboys of in Chile, but you know, it's not really like full on discipline. It's more like a lifestyle. So when you go for lessons and stuff, you either go to do like show jumping or you go to do dressage, and most of the people do show jumping. So that's, and I had jumped once a couple times, so I was really excited about that. And since I started going to lessons at 8, it was, you know, from then on, this is what I want to do. And I saw a competition, which I thought looked huge. And looking back was probably like a 110 or something. And I was like, I want to be doing that. And then I found out that show jumping was in the Olympics. And I was like, and I want to go to the Olympics. And it's been like that ever since.
That's awesome. And that's what you want to be like, do someday. That's your aspiration, is to be what, the second Chilean woman ever to compete in show jumping. Yes. And then the only woman since 1972.
Yeah.
That's crazy. A big dream. I bet you can do it though.
It's the plan.
I love that. That's the plan. I love it. So we're about out of time, but I wanted to ask you, what are your best tips for the kid who wants to be you someday? Like, what would you, if you could go back and talk to little Gabby, what would you tell her?
I tell her that to be prepared, that this is not an easy sport. It's going to be full of frustrations, but all of those frustrations come with things to learn, and to be very patient with herself and to let herself make mistakes, not try to be so perfect, because, you know, horses aren't perfect, and that she can do it, that she can, you know, complete her dream and keep being as resilient as she is. And that's what the same thing I would tell a kid. I would tell them they have to be patient with themselves, and that this is a sport, that we do it for the love of the horse and then for the sport. And I think that's very important.
Absolutely. I love that. All right. Well, how can people follow you? What are your handles? How can they learn more about you?
It's very simple, Gabriella with one L dot my last name, which is very hard to say, but it's Reuter, but it's spelled R-E-U-T-T-E-R. And it's the same on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok, and YouTube. So very simple, Gabriella dot Reuter.
Perfect. And we'll put those links in the show notes too. And if you guys want to come meet Gabby and learn more about her and show jumping and all kinds of cool stuff, then come to Equine Affair next month. We'll all be there November 6th through the 9th. Well, that was an awesome show. That is our show, at least until Equine Affairs here, which is happening in, I don't really want to count the days. So,
what are the dates in November?
Yes, November 6th through the 9th is where you will be able to find me at the Eastern States Exposition as part of Equine Affair. That is what's going on. November 6th, it's coming up way too fast, but I'm very excited.
And of course, you can find all the details at equineaffair.com. Click on the Massachusetts one at the top there, and you'll find all the hotel information. All the information is on there if you want to volunteer, what's coming up, the programs, the whole thing. So go to equineaffair.com right now. Keep an eye on the YouTube channel too. And during Equine Affair, Allison, where's the best place for them to follow all of your cool stuff you do?
Yes. So I would say the Facebook and the Instagram, I will be posting all day long. I'll be sharing stories from our attendees and the stories. That's always the most fun part for me. But yeah, follow us on Facebook and Instagram. We might jump over on TikTok because we do have a TikTok. And the handle on all three of those platforms is at Equine Affair.
Very good. And of course, if you want to listen to past Equine Affair episodes, you can do that just by searching Equine Affair on your podcast player. There's a separate RSS feed just for the Equine Affair episodes away from Horses in the Morning. So if you just want to listen to past ones of that, which there's a lot of, you can search that way. And you can also still find all the past episodes on your Horses in the Morning feed as well. Thanks, everybody, for joining us, and have fun at Equine Affair.